Belinda and Harper Audio Australia present this unabridged recording of The Prodigal Sister, written by Darry Fraser and read by Rebecca McCauley. The dedication reads, Brothers. Chapter 1. Melbourne, 1900. Prudence North snatched her arm from the young constable's steely grip.
Sit, miss, he said,
his tone gruff, his eyes darting in the dim light. He shook a finger towards three chairs around the only table in the middle of the stuffy room. Too big for your boots, mister. Indignant, she tested for the least soiled, least rickety of them. What sort of muck would need to be cleaned from her dress? Not happy. She sat on the dirty upholstery of one that faced the door. Not happy. Weak shafts of sunlight filtered through the mildewy window, drawing attention to the oily, dust-caked splotches on the table. Dingy. Hardly conducive to calming the nerves.
Mr. Bankson won't be long, the man said sharply.
He pulled the door slightly ajar and couldn't get out fast enough as he slid through the barest opening. The door shut loudly and ominously. A thin stream of cool air had managed to slip inside but did nothing to cut the thick fustiness. Her heartbeat was throbbing in her head as she waited. The room, the interview room, she'd been told, was nothing but a shabby structure out in the yard somewhere behind the main buildings. And not for the faint-hearted. The whiff of vomit and other effluvia hung in the stale air. Earlier, two officious, arrogant young constables had arrived at her home, insisting that she accompany them quietly to the Bourke Street West police station.
"Oh, Mr. Bankston, say so, miss. No nonsense now. Come along."
She couldn't think what would incline Mr. Bankston, a family friend, to treat her this way, as if I was a street woman, for goodness sake.
What's all this about? She hissed.
Her appeal had fallen on deaf ears. She'd had to make a rushed decision then, not to worry her mother and her mother's nurse, Mrs. Kirby. So she'd shouted a goodbye, grabbed a little purse, her hat and gloves, and hoped her haste would satisfy the impatient police. Her father wasn't home. He'd already driven the buggy to the street for supplies and had taken her sister Valerie with him. It was to be a short outing. Melbourne air could not be considered fresh, with all the horse manure, the coal and wood fires burning. And despite new sewage works, effluent was still on the nose. The city lived up to its unkind but apt nickname, Smelbourne. Had Mr. Bankston known that she'd be almost by herself at home? Her nerves had rattled, and then an odd dread filled her, though she couldn't think why. Both constables, similar in size, underfed and a little taller than she, and age, probably early 20s, had been stoically silent, under orders no doubt, in the driver's seat, despite her shrill demands for information. Inside the unmarked carriage, she'd hammered on the wall. She had not gone quietly. They finally arrived in the City West District, which was miles from her home in Jolimont, and drove into a carriageway alongside the muted, gothic, red brick construction of the police station. There they herded her over a small lane and via a back door into this otherwise empty yet menacing place. It might have intimidated a lesser person. Nevertheless, the room had a palpable derision for the innocent until proven guilty. Apprehension tingled. She eyed the grubby table in front of her and her lip curled. The grime there declared its contempt for those who had the misfortune to sit at it. Hinges creaked as the door opened, and welcome light filled the room. Mr. Bankston entered, almost casually, and gave her only his nod of recognition. His coat-tails brought with them a chilly rush of air, offering no reprieve in the dense space beyond him. Mr. Bankston closed the door with...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?